You may remember a couple weeks ago, some folks from the Black River Historical Society sent in some ghost hunters into the Moore House, which is in Lorain. It also serves as the Black River Historical Society's headquarters. And we said, you know what, in a couple weeks, we're going to reconvene. We're going to reconvene with a representative from the Black River Historical Society and one of the ghost hunters himself to kind of find out exactly what it is that happened. And we've got both of those folks on the line right now. We have Frank Sipkowski. He is from the Black River Historical Society. And we have Carlo Zuzic, who is one of the ghost hunters. Gentlemen, it's great to have you on. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Les.
Good morning, Les. How you doing?
Good. Now, while all this is going on, Carlo is trying to email me some sound from that particular event, and I'm going to be checking my email periodically to hopefully get some ghost sounds. Were you able to send it yet, by the way?
I'm working on it still.
All right. You know, you gotta get a computer that was made after the 80s, okay?
Yes, I agree.
I mean, you're a ghost hunter, for heaven's sakes. You need top-notch equipment. Why don't we start first with talking to Frank? Frank, if you could just sort of take us back to the event that really, really pushed you over the edge in terms of you thinking, you know what, I think there just may be a ghost here.
Well, it all started when the organization took over the former mayor's house, which was Leonard Moore. We got it from the city. We leased it from the city, and I was in the attic doing some work to prepare for us to move in. And I happened to be up in the attic painting the attic floor, and I heard some noises. And I, of course, at the time, I thought it was my wife Carolyn coming up to see what I was doing, but it wasn't her. It was the creaking, and then I had like a like somebody was watching me, leaning over and saying that was not saying, but like you get the eerie feeling somebody's looking and approving of what you're doing. And then all of a sudden, I had a like a chill or a breeze blow across me, and like I say before, I had goosebumps, and I yelled, and I said, "Carolyn, is that you?" And there was no answer. And so here she come up the steps, and I says, "Where you been?" She says, "I was downstairs getting water to drink." And I says, "You weren't up here messing with me?" And she says, "No." I said, "Well, I had somebody up here looking over me," and so that's when it started.
Now, we have all heard our own houses as they settle, as they creak. Now, how do you know that the initial noise wasn't something like that, and you just kind of got caught off guard, got a little bit nervous, got a little scared, and the rest just sort of you psyched yourself into thinking it was something more than that?
Well, it happened to me once before. It was a day after. I was down in one of the kids' room, working in there trying to get a piece of plexiglass to fit into a case. And the stair going to the attic, the door was open. And I heard creaking going up the steps, and once again, I thought it was the wife, and here it wasn't. And besides, there was no weight in the house. We did not have any material actually in the house to cause weight or shifting of boards or anything like that. So that's another thing that sent me over the edge is when I was in the kids' room working. And then, once again, it was nobody other than the sound that I heard.
Now, why does your suspicion, or did your suspicion, fall onto specifically Leonard Moore, the former occupant of the house, also former mayor of Lorain from back in the 20s?
Well, at the time, I didn't know that there was other people that lived in the house. And then later on, I found out that the house was rented or leased because the Moose owned the house. They bought it at an auction. And then they rented it out for a number of years. But I just assumed because Leonard built the house, he raised his family there, and there was a showing of his body downstairs where the gift shop's at. So I figured, hey, it must be him approving it, or his wife at the time was looking to see what we was doing, and that's why I feel it was the family.
So you said, you know what, we're going to find some ghost hunters. And how did you hook up with Carlo's group? Did you just Google ghost hunters and they were the closest one? I mean, how does one hire a team of ghost hunters?
No, I think there was an article in the paper, I believe, at the time. And I believe, Carlos, you guys picked up on it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's how we got hooked up with him.
All right. Speaking of Carlo, who is also a computer engineer this morning, how is that email coming along?
Actually, I got it set up here. I could play it over the phone for you.
Oh, okay. That'll be cool. Then before
it'll take a second here.
Before you do that now, let's talk a little bit about you guys and the team. So how many of you were there? What did you do? What kind of equipment did you have? Just to kind of...
There was eight of us there.
I take it these are the ghostly noises.
We set up all our equipment, and Frank showed us all the hot spots. And we just kind of walked around, did the EVP work where we talk and, you know, see what we could pick up on, what kind of experiences we could feel and hear. And we got some noises from there. We really didn't experience anything strange, but we had some unknown noises that happened. We couldn't figure out where they came from.
Like, what? First of all, what sort of noises are we talking?
Like shuffling sounds, like someone was shuffling. We also got, we had a group in the attic, and there was a group in the basement, or actually on the first floor, I'm sorry. And there was a loud noise that came from the second floor, and there was nobody there. So, you know, we were still trying to figure out where that came from.
What kind of a loud noise?
It was just like a big thump. It was just a loud thump, and it kind of rattled everybody because nobody knew what was happening. You know, we thought maybe someone dropped something, but like I said, there was nobody on that second floor at all.
We're talking to Carlo Zuzic right now. He is a ghost hunter, and he was one of the ghost hunters who went into the old Moore House, which serves as the Black River Historical Society headquarters. We're also talking to Frank Sipkowski, and he is with the Black River Historical Society. And they say, you know what, the ghost of Leonard Moore may in fact be haunting the house. And just a couple Saturdays ago, Carlo and his group, and what is the name of the group?
It's Orbs.
I'm sorry?
Orbs.
Orbs went in, and they just sort of checked it out. And I guess you got some sound. So if you can kind of place, first of all, set up each sound. What is this first sound that we're about to hear?
Okay, the first sound is, it was in the green room. Is that right, Frank?
Yes.
Okay. We were back there. We had two investigators back there. And they were kind of just making fun of something. There was an object there that they were kind of just laughing at a little bit. And we got a response. It kind of angered something, but... I'll play it for you. It'll be towards the end of the recording. You'll hear the voice come through. Did you guys catch that?
Okay, do it again.
Okay.
I caught her.
Towards the very end, it sounds like somebody was whispering the word hotspot.
Yeah, it says my house.
Okay, do it again.
Sure.
I caught her.
There's definitely something there, which could very well be that. Now, how do you know that it wasn't just continued shuffling? I'm just trying to think of what some of those other noises were. I mean, I heard some people kind of chatting among themselves, and there was a consistent noise/noises throughout. What was all that?
What it is they were just two investigators. Anytime we go into any room, all our investigators document who's there, what they're doing. So we know who was in that room, and that was definitely not one of our investigators talking. But they were just kind of walking, and they spotted an object, and they were just kind of laughing about it. And
you mean like just like a piece of furniture or something?
Yeah. I'm not sure what it was. I thought they said it was like some kind of picture or something. I'm not sure what it was. But they came across it, and they were kind of just giggling at it, and it seemed like it agitated someone.
Okay.
And it wasn't them.
Now you have some other examples of sound.
Yes, we got another one here. It's kind of low. It's in between. I'll explain what it is, and then you guys take a listen. This is right when we got there. It's in the basement, and we were setting up. And you'll hear a little girl come through, and there was no kids with us on the, you know, investigation at all. So I'll let you listen and see if you can pick up on it.
Wait for somebody.
Did you guys catch that?
It was right at the end.
Yeah, it's right at the end. It's very low. I'll play it again for you one more time.
All right.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Wait for somebody.
Well, I mean, I'm hearing noise. I'm hearing the people talking. By the way, you got to tell your team to stop talking.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny that you say that because a lot of times when we do EVP work, we'll be just talking, and a lot of times that's when we catch most of the activity. It's kind of strange. And then a lot of times when we're asking, ain't nothing doing nothing. So, but that was just us actually just setting up and getting ready to go on the investigation. And it sounds like a little girl that comes through and it says, I'm fine.
All right, let's listen.
Literally at the end.
Let's listen again.
Okay, you got it.
Yes, ma'am, okay. Wait for somebody.
I mean, yeah, hearing something back there, you know, almost like she's in some kind of pain or something, or just upset.
Yeah, it just sounds like it's in a distance, and it says, "I'm fine."
And again, now these are
what we're picking up on.
These are sounds that you ordinarily wouldn't hear if you were just sort of walking through the house. These are sounds that we are hearing because of the equipment that you happen to have set up.
Yes, that came through the DVR, the digital voice recorder.
Okay.
It picks up a lot of sounds that we usually don't hear. And there was a few sounds that we did pick up in the house that we did hear, you know, like a mumbling sound, and there was like a whistle that came through. So it was definitely an interesting place.
Okay. Frank, what is your take on all this?
Well, last night we reviewed all the tapes and looked at everything, and what we're hearing does not do justice to what we heard. It's due to the fact that you still there?
Yes.
It's due to the fact that sitting there and hearing it, you could hear it very good. But it's sort of like put a chill to me listening to it because of what they picked up. I'm sorry to say that you could not hear what exactly happened a lot clearer. You had to be there in order to hear it, and it confirms me that there was something in that house.
Now, are you saying that we can't hear it over the radio?
Yes,
or?
Yes. You can't hear it as good or as clear, because with it playing over and over like we did last night, and there was five of us in the room, and we all could hear it. And as he played it, you could pick up on it a little bit more. And of course, everybody had their own interpretation of what they heard, but when it narrowed it down, it more or less came to what we thought it was, like a child laughing or saying my house, or the thud that we heard, something like a rasp, like somebody was talking. It was a smoker. You could hear the rough voice, very faint, but you could make it out. And like I say, is that it convinced me that there's something going on.
So we're talking that these are potentially different people, a child, a smoker, and all of your suspicions point toward Leonard Moore and his family.
Or that it could have been somebody or the renters that lived in that house at one time.
Okay. And any way of knowing if anything ever tragic happened to them, if they've passed away, why they would come back to this particular location?
We have not done any further investigation on it because we haven't talked to the Moose or anything like that to find out in their records who they rented to. But that's something an avenue that we could look into.
Now you're gonna stick. You are gonna continue this. You haven't been frightened off or scared off or anything.
No, what we've done is that we went to chew on this a little bit. What they showed us and what they offered to us. And maybe in the future have them come back and see if their findings are still the same.
Well, Carlo, one thing I definitely want you to do is do try to email me that sound once again.
Sure.
Because I'd like to have it here. I mean, you know, there's no question about it. There was some sort of noise, and, you know, perhaps upon either closer listen, you never know. But certainly Frank is convinced, and you know, I mean, you guys have been doing this for quite a long time. And again, I ask you, I mean, you're not ever scared that one day you're going to run into something really scary?
No. Our group's trained well. We know the situation that we're getting into. You know, if we ever did come across something dangerous, we would probably go talk to somebody that has dealt with something like that before. But pretty much it. You know, we're all trained well enough to where, you know, we're used to it.
Where do you train? I mean, are there, you know, college courses, you know?
No, we just go over, you know, doing it for so many years, you learn the field.
Okay.
And we're still learning and on every investigation, we learn something new.
Well, tell you,
just by going along and doing it, and you just got to watch what you're doing.
All right. And, Frank, this is no secret, obviously. This is something that you'd like to share with folks. And when people come to the Black River Historical Society, the old Morehouse, I mean, these are obviously things that you're going to be talking about during the ongoing period of time.
Yeah, so it would be part of our tour that
sure.
We had something like this going on. It's just that we don't want to scare anybody away, but we don't want a lot of people just to come and start touring the house and think that they can see somebody walking alongside of them that thinks it's a ghost.
Gotcha. Well, I'll tell you what, Carlo, if you can give us a website, we could learn a little bit more about what you guys do.
Yeah, if you could go to www.banditspirits.com.
Bandit and, or banded?
Banded. It's BANDEDSPIRITS.
And where can Bandit we learn? Spirits. And where can we learn more about the Black River Historical Society?
It's on www.LorraineCityHistory.com.
Okay, Lorraine City History. Well, gentlemen, pleasure to have you on. And as we go further, we shall stay in touch. How about that?
Thank you.
Great.
So much.
Thanks,
Les.
And I would just like to thank the Black River Historical Society for giving us the opportunity to come in and to validate their haunting. And, you know, hopefully we kept the Moore family legacy alive.
It's pretty fascinating stuff. Like I've always said, I've never seen a ghost. How do I know it's not there? I've never seen Alaska. It's there. You know what I mean?
That's right.
All right. You take care.